Me llamo Papa Francisco. Bienvenidos a UCB Deportes y Leisure.
Since the dawn of time, man has competed and relaxed. But with that comes responsibility. We go behind the pageantry and ceremony to examine these modern warriors and relaxers to bring you the real story.
From East Hollywood, the investigative capital of the world, this is UCB Sports and Leisure.
Since the 1800s, when tobacco companies started issuing baseball cards with their cigarettes, America has been obsessed with sports collectibles. Today, sports memorabilia is a billion-dollar industry. We talked with Memo Kings owner Johnny Pastimes about the state of the industry today, and we learned that one of the most crucial gauges in estimating the value of your collectibles is who signed it and what type of item they signed. Okay, so this is Johnny Pastime, who owns the store Memo Kings in the Golden Nugget in Las Vegas, and he's here to talk about sports memorabilia.
Johnny Pastimes, I own and operate Memo Kings out of the Golden Nugget in Las Vegas, Nevada, and we buy, sell, and trade sports memorabilia and artifacts. I don't know what the word you guys use for it, but we use memo. We short it down to memo.
It's like, I was going to say, is that like jargon in the industry? You go, what's the memo? What kind of memo you got?
Yeah, we're looking at all kinds of memo. We talking football memos, baseball memo.
That makes sense.
We deal in all the big sports and some of the small sports. You know.
I bet if you had to say memorabilia, you would probably waste like an extra 30 minutes a day.
That's four syllables, right?
Memorabilia.
You do the hand on your chin thing to memorabilia. Yeah, it might be five syllables.
See, this guy is already...
I'm going to go six.
It's between four and six, which is a lot. And so if you can get it down...
You think we could figure this out. I think it's six.
Yeah. Let's say six.
I'm sorry, you're
the
expert.
We can get it down to a third of the amount of syllables by saying memo.
Yeah.
Imagine if instead of Gap sold khakis, but they were called Kakinoforman and Pants or something like that.
You would still say khakis.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You'd shorten it. So you guys got some memorabilia you wanted to show me? I got some stuff I could show you.
Well,
looking to buy, sell, trade? What are we going on here?
Well, I just wanted to know how much this stuff is worth.
Yeah.
And I'm a little nervous. Like, he's so well-dressed. Like, you must be like... Are you like a big deal in Vegas, or
I'm a big deal in the memo world. I'm not a big deal. Vegas is a place chock full of big deals. It's a deal.
There's sharks.
Oh, big
there's
deals.
Whales. Yeah, right.
There's
right.
Sharks. There's whales. There's orcas.
Well, who do you run? I mean, Vegas is a scene. Like, what's your scene? Who do you run with? Like the circus freaks from Cirque du Soleil. Do you drink with them? Or like,
there's
who
dancers.
Do you run with out
there's
there?
There's a lot of dancers. Yeah. Like,
oh, of course, there's some hot.
Oh, there's
hot
tons.
Dancers.
Of,
I'm
yeah,
sure,
but
beautiful.
Me, I'm with Danny Gans every single night.
Really?
Yeah, the comedian, magician, Danny Gans. He's one of my favorites.
Old pal. Old school, huh?
Old, yeah. We're trying to do like a kind of new Rat Pack thing, me and him and a couple of the other newer performers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Carrot Top.
Carrot Top. Yeah, Carrot Top. He lives off strip, you know. I hang with the guys that we're all just riding around in limos together getting our buzz on, you know.
You know, if I was friends with him, I saw him a lot, I would just call him CT. Probably save a day by the end of the year.
Yeah, it depends
CT.
On how much you see him. Yeah.
CT.
Yeah. That gets you also getting a little murky water there because it's up to him in the long run what you call him, right?
That's true. You can't,
force a nickname upon
you're
people.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right. It's a little aggressive.
Because Lawrence Taylor, famously, he insisted on being called Lawrence Taylor, but everyone was like, we've missed two whole practice days since you joined the team with all these extra syllables. If we call him LT, we can work on a 4-3 defense and a 3-4 defense.
Wow. That was the key to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Just that efficiency?
Yeah, it was Pepper Johnson's idea.
I just Googled you now. We have a very Cracker Jack Wi-Fi system here. Were you involved in a memorabilia piece that has the bloody sock of Joe Theismann from the Lawrence Taylor hit? Were you involved in that piece of memorabilia in that transaction?
Yes, both parts of the bloody sock because it was cut off of him. A lot of people don't know that. That's how you could spot a fake.
Cut in half.
Who would buy that? That's gross. That was the most horrendous. By the way, that was one of the first sports events for me that they kept showing that, like, I felt like it was like Brave New World stuff. It was just like, too much.
That was hard to watch. That was like a proto Faces of Death kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Dug it, though. Because
oh,
for
you
me,
did.
I was like, This is all your Joe Theismann jerseys. The moment he breaks his leg on national television, they go up 15% to 20%.
Oh,
easy.
My God. That makes it makes me a little queasy. That was a good TV though, I guess. But man, that was hard to watch.
It's brutal. I felt so bad for that man in that moment.
And speaking of Joe Theismann, I have this. I don't know if you know a lot about mini helmets, but I have a plastic. It's a mini helmet. It's autographed by Joe Theismann. It's the original plastic.
It's not Baskin Robbins, the upside down one.
No, with ice cream.
Okay.
It's not like a food thing. It wasn't free. This is something that was.
Would
purchased.
It come out of a gumball machine? Or
no,
what's
no,
it, made
it was
of?
Mold. No, it's. But there's different kinds of plastic. This is clearly the '70s plastic that was molded. It's got.
It's good.
It's
plastic.
Mint condition.
It's good plastic. Hard to argue against good
like
plastic.
Like something you would have bought at Kmart back then. Like where did that thing come from?
Well, that's the thing. Is it's like. They only made a few of these, I'm pretty sure, and
early issue
autographed, like one of the first paint pens ever made.
Okay, and they're Riddell. Those are Riddell miniatures. That's an official Riddell miniature.
And is that? Can you verify that signature? I mean, are you that good, Johnny?
See, I can eyeball a signature most of the time, especially big guys, QBs, you know, pitchers. I can tell a lot of signatures with people like that. That looks like a classic Theismann. It's either. I would need a couple more minutes and one of my scanners, but otherwise, if this is an authentic Theismann signature, which I believe it is, this you're looking at $35, $30.
That's more than I thought. I'd say a nickel. I don't know.
I'm a little bummed out. I was thinking
$35 for a piece of garbage is a very good amount of money.
I mean.
That's the way you got to look at these things.
How much did the bloody sock, if off the record, how much of that?
We could do it officially. We could be on the record about this because my books are open.
Of course.
My books are open.
Great.
$2,250.
$2,250.
For the bloody
for
each
sock?
Half?
For both halves, yeah.
For both halves.
I didn't want to sell them separately because who has, you know, it was part of a display piece. We framed it. We did it nice.
Sew it back together?
No. It's in two shards.
More valuable, yeah.
It's in two shards. Theismann autographed one, and LT autographed the other.
Yeah,
that took some cunning. That took some trickery. Neither of them were open to that idea. But you know, you send a kid in a wheelchair with the sock underneath a football, and you can get pretty much anyone to autograph anything at that
point.
Okay. Yeah.
So I have my kid who luckily is in a wheelchair, so I use him to get a lot of stuff like that, you know.
Johnny Pastimes Jr.,
but he's technically Johnny Third because I changed my name to Pastimes when I opened up the memo shop.
Mm-hmm.
My name was Johnny Dogfood Jr.
I have this little Dennis Rodman bobblehead. I figured this is autographed by Dennis Rodman and some of the other Bulls from the 90s. You see, like, Scottie Pippen here.
Will Purdue signature on it.
Will Purdue.
Signed on his face. They wrote all over his face.
And a little Bart Simpson that was drawn by Will Purdue.
Jack Harmon, whatever
that's really...
His buddy.
That's a good piece of memo right there. You got yourself a solid piece of memo.
Cartwright?
That's good, man. You seek out something like that, something you always want. Like when I was a kid, I wanted nothing more than Lyle Azedo's steroid needle. Could not find a guy that can hook me up with that.
Never. That's like the holy grail that
was
you still
my
chase.
That was my holy grail that I was chasing for all. So I see what you're coming at with this Dennis
Rodman.
So
what year is that? Is that like 96, Scott? Would you say 94?
96 has been the fifth ring.
Yeah. So 96. Wow. So
96, not bad. You got an MJ autograph on this?
I do not have MJ. Okay. I have MJ's.
Oh.
I have MJ's.
It's like having all the time, but
MJ's. I have MJ's dad before he died.
He autographed this Dennis Rodman bobblehead?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's worth something. I mean, his father. It's Michael Jordan
Sr. That's him. That's right. He wrote "Cover the Spread" -MJ Sr.
Yeah, that's right.
I wouldn't want that.
This is good. Are you kidding? You're getting closer to the Ark of the Covenant at this point. The more shit that could never have happened, like having a dead person and a friend of a North Korean dictator autographed on the same bobblehead.
Okay.
Yeah, because Dennis Rodman, decent basketball player, but his autograph is worth way more because of his feature film work with Jean-Claude Van Damme in the film Double Team, and for his affiliation with Kim Jong-un. So for me, this is 95.
And a Carmen Electra relationship at some point.
Yeah,
she signed
that
it.
That didn't hurt his memo.
Carmen Electra is actually signed on the bottom, next to Bob Costas.
Oh, shit. I don't even know about this. There's a lot of freaks
it
on here.
It folds out here if you open the bottom. There's also a fold out here.
Oh, shit.
Reggie Theus, who...
Is that a Burt Ward Batman signature on there? Or Burt Ward, the Robin character. I'm sorry. Burt Ward?
Yeah, but he wrote Batman-Burt Ward. That's huge.
That's just so you know who he is. He was very...
That's huge. That's like
He admitted that he wants to be Batman in that signature.
This is huge. This is the backwards airplane on the stamp thing. This is a Every one of these. Forgive me. This is Las Vegas parlance here, but every one of these fucking freaks that signs this thing, boom, I'm looking at $1,200, $1,300.
Wow.
And if you find a rabid Bills fan, a rabid Bulls fan, you can get maybe $1,450, $1,500 for this thing.
Now, is this the most expensive piece of memorabilia you've ever seen? Because I would think that this is probably one of the best things.
This is up there. This is up there. There's a lot of stuff like this, but I have Jeff Gillooly's nightstick back at my place. I kept that one for myself.
The one that Nancy Kerrigan got kneecapped with?
No, his recreational nightstick. Just, of course it's the one he
broke. That's a fair question for a journalist to ask. I mean,
Gillooly, just so
it could,
for
you
our
could
audience.
Say no, actually the one he kept by the door for other reasons.
Right, exactly. No, it's the one. It's the TH knee breaker, the THKB.
So, I mean, just to catch our listeners. It's
in
the,
case
the,
they're under
the
age of 35.
During
Nancy
the Olympics.
Kerrigan was coming out of skating rehearsal close to the Olympics, a month or two before, and Gillooly,
like
the husband of Tanya Hart. No, she had a month to come back, I think. I just watched the thing on ESPN. And Gillooly hired a guy who was going to break her kneecap, and then he hit her and then ran away.
Now, what? That's
we
amazing.
Have that.
And
we
you have that.
That.
You have that.
That.
That's
nice
not evidence.
Did that guy sign it? The guy who actually?
That guy refuses to come out and say who he is. But I have Gillooly, Tanya Harding, and this is the move that got me killed. I got Nancy Kerrigan to sign the stick as well.
Wow.
That's why I got it at home and lose sight in my panic room.
I don't would never give that up?
That's mine.
That's in your go kit, right?
The shit I had to do to get Nancy Kerrigan to sign the nightstick that she got hit in the leg with was nearly impossible.
She was at a low point, so you could really get her to do it.
I dressed up as a police officer that was there to get some last-minute evidence.
So you got Nancy Kerrigan to sign it. You got
Jeff
Gillooly.
Yeah.
And who else is on there?
And Tanya herself is on there, too. That was easy.
And was
she had already pre-signed the nightstick. She didn't realize that it could eventually bite her in the ass.
Okay, he's showing it. Here's a picture of it right here, Matt.
Yeah, take a look.
Oh, wow.
It's on my droid.
Is that George W. Bush autographed it, too? What is that one right there?
Yeah, that's G.W.
Senior or junior?
That's GWB. That is.
Or was that Bill Clinton? Who was president when?
Well, it looks like George Bush is on here.
Yeah, George Bush. I don't know if he was the president or not when it happened.
He was running.
I was going to I was going to Texas Rangers spring training, right? Mm-hmm. And I had heard the Bushes might be there, so I cracked open the Lucite. You know how hard it is, by the way, to get a nightstick into your carry on in a post 9/11 world. But I pulled it off.
Luckily, this is pre 9/11 though.
No, this when I got it signed was post 9/11.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm well aware.
It's already in Lucite at this. This is like the thing he travels with everywhere.
But then I found out that Bush was gonna be at Texas Rangers. So I take it out of Lucite, get Bush to sign it, get my Texas based Lucite guy to re Lucite it, and then I fly back home with it and back to Vegas where it's now. And given this opportunity, if I get to
He was current president, is that right, when he signed it, or was he after his reign?
It was after. This is senior. It was after his reign. Yeah.
After his reign. And did he know what he was signing?
No, that's the thing. I, again, used some serious trickery.
Your son? Did you bring your son in the wheelchair?
I have a
question. I see your wife out in the waiting room.
Oh, yeah.
And let me just ask, was she blind before? Did you pretend that she was blind before she
We
was
have
blind?
Those big sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say we already had them from a couple of. We had this gag. My wife's got big tits, so we used to pretend
she does.
Was blind.
Let me look. Yeah, she's very large.
She's facing
woman.
Away, but you can kind of see him from behind, like an anime.
Wave back, Matt. She's waving at you.
Hello, Mrs. Fastime. Pastime?
Pastimes. Well, her last name, her legal name is Mrs. Dogfood, because she married me before I opened up Memo Kings. And
I would never take that name.
I'm
so
just
you legally
a
changed it, but she didn't.
I legally changed my name, but it's a little bit more of a runaround for her.
Well, I have about a million questions. How did you end up being called Mr. Dogfood?
Because my dad was Johnny Dogfood Sr. because he owned a dog food store in Reno, just outside of it.
So he was in the dog food business.
So he changed his name to Johnny
and
Dogfood.
And literally gave it to you.
Yeah, and then I was born. My
Did you get harassed for that name? Picked on?
I got that and one time at a sleepover party, four of the bigger guys in my grade pinned me down, put Alpo in my ass, and let two German shepherds
eat it. Oh,
and then
I'm so sorry about that.
They took pictures on Polaroids and put them up all around.
That's terrible.
All around school. Yeah,
I'm really sorry. That's awful. Did you prosecute those men?
No. I got one of the Polaroids back, and I was able to get an autograph from Colin Powell on that Polaroid. So now that's in the panic room.
You would never sell that, though.
I would never. That one is not even worth. I don't even know. I'm just a big Colin Powell.
Why don't you just destroy that?
Because
it's a memo.
It's a memo. Not all memos are good.
There are things I destroy that I don't want out there. Bad ideas or bad moments. Like, you just get rid of them.
Yeah, but that's not memo. That's not the memo life. If you're living the memo life, you're going to take a chair out of Yankee Stadium when they shut it down. You're also going to grab a piece of rubble if you happen to be near 9/11, you know? Like, if you happen not on 9/11 near the World Trade Center.
You grab a piece of rubble. It's a compulsion.
Yeah, I can see there, like, in your... You got a...
Oh, you want to see some of the stuff? I brought some stuff, too, if you guys want to look at that.
Yeah. What is this? So this is like a you failed your driver's exam here, but it was autographed by Cheryl Teagues.
Yeah, Cheryl Teagues was behind me getting her driver's license. I failed mine, didn't have a sheet of paper on me. It was back in my early memo days, because in my late memo, now I carry a pad on me, but also I carry a couple of top-notch pieces of memo in case I can get a rando's autograph, you know, like, because that's another thing, like you said, like with
is a rando a random person in the memo world,
but still needs to be famous but not affiliated at all. Like, for example, you have this
Bush on the nightstick
or Bob Costas on the bobblehead. That stuff ramps it up, because then it's like, maybe you're not a Chicago Bulls fan, but maybe you're a diehard Costas fan.
Now there should be like a coup. Somebody should be like the thing with the best signatures ever. Because like, why stop putting signatures on it? Because it seems like the more random or crazy.
Like, there'll be some guy out there who has all of the 86 Mets autographs on one baseball. That's a very valuable baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But you also get, in addition to that, you get fucking Val Kilmer's autograph on there. That's popping even more. That's just added value.
That doesn't ruin it for some people. I feel like some
there's
people
gotta
don't
be diminishing returns.
Yeah,
yeah, like,
after a while,
if you had 500 signatures on a baseball, you wouldn't be able to read any of them.
Right. But imagine you could, like, you're like, oh, are you a big Mets fan? It's like, hardly, but fucking, you know, who can throw this away? It's Val Kilmer. He was in the Saint. It's like, what, real genius.
Well, you're a Kilmer guy, obviously.
Obviously, I'm a big Kilmer guy.
Yeah.
So that's a different story for me.
Sure.
So if you have like something that's like a very high value, let's say, you know, like Watergate, you know, maybe there's some like original transcript of,
sure.
Or like, you know, like evidence from Watergate. Like, you wouldn't want,
if
like,
if you had the recording device under Nixon's desk and it was signed by Haldeman or someone else in the office.
You wouldn't then just add
Wendy the Snapple Lady? Because Wendy the Snapple Lady, I've added.
Does she hurt value or help value?
What? She is a big value added.
Really? So if you got her on the Mets ball, for example.
And that's
in New York, makes sense.
In New York, it makes the thing. The trick is with this rando stuff is to really juxtapose it weirdly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like Wendy the Snapple Lady on a Watergate recording device, amazing. Wendy the Snapple Lady on a picture of Ice-T, the rapper Ice-T, that's funny because that's a thinker. You know, you got to make that connection on your own. But Wendy the Snapple Lady on a bottle of Snapple, you know.
How about like on a, I don't know, a Pope Francis card, if you had Wendy the Snapple Lady on a Pope Francis
card?
That's
pretty solid. That's pretty solid.
That's
now,
still a boost. But I'm just trying to pick something that like...
So say you get rosary beads from the Vatican, blessed by Pope Francis himself.
Yeah.
But then you also get video footage of Wendy the Snapple Lady splashing Mango Madness on the same set of rosary beads.
Mm-hmm.
To me, doubles the value.
See, for me...
And there's a mark, someone would buy that.
Someone would buy that.
There's a market.
That's the thing about memo that not a lot of people understand is like, shit could be worth a fortune, but will someone buy it is the question. Because a lot of it's just about holding on to it and imagining it's worth a lot of money. Because when you go to sell it, it never works out the way you want it to. Mm-hmm.
So part of me is like, thinks that like, because clearly Wendy the Snapple Lady has signed like all this stuff in this box here.
This is my travel box. So anytime I run into a celeb that I can get, tack an extra. So I saw Wendy at a Comic-Con recently, and I got her.
I don't know. What do you think, Matt? Would you rather have like a, like,
I
mean,
pure,
look,
like,
I mean,
I
look
know.
At this. It's
pull
like
pull an item out. Pull
like,
an item
okay,
out.
This okay. Is a this yeah. Is a yeah. Jim McMahon no. Rookie card.
Jim McMahon rookie card,
and he got signed it.
And McMahon signed
and
the front,
Wendy
but look
the
at the
Snapple,
back.
Wendy the Snapple Lady.
Wendy the Snapple Lady. Wendy Thomas, Dave Thomas's daughter from Wendy's, and then Wendy McClendon from Goldberg's. Yeah.
Interesting.
Now, see,
so who's the demo for that? Because I kind of agree with Scott. Like, if I'm playing like fair, like I would probably I'm a huge Bears fan. So
you guys are big. You're a big Bears fan.
I think the first Wendy loses value, and then each one after that successively makes it less worthy.
Right, but you just want a Jim McMahon autograph, right?
Yes.
So you got it.
But I'm a traditionalist. Like, I guess I'm not.
So if you're an '86 Mets fan and you get the ball that has everyone, you're like, well, I never really liked Piazza, and then you fucking throw the, what are you gonna throw the ball away?
No,
you hold on to it.
I hold on to it.
Same thing. The trio of Wendy's doesn't affect you. You don't need to keep the ball. Mm-hmm. You don't buy that card.
It almost does. It almost does, but I'm not your typical memo guy. Like, for me, it's like, I don't know. It's distracting.
You can buy a Jim McMahon autograph just about anywhere.
Like,
right?
I would almost get them removed. I would almost pay to have them
here's an example.
Smithsonian and have them pull that ink out.
Here's an example.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I would love to just pull Ringo's drums out of the White Album. Who the fuck is this guy?
Well, speaking of Ringo's, I have a pair of drumsticks.
I'm willing to change history to be happy.
I'm a big drummer. Okay. I'm not as good as these greats like Ringo Starr and stuff, but I do collect the sticks.
Oh, yeah.
That they autograph. And here I have Ringo Starr.
Holy
autographed
shit.
Autographed on one stick. And, you know, it's a pair. That's it. But is it. It's
and
just
Ringo
one,
autographed one of the two sticks.
Yeah, and that's it. It's just very simple, classy.
It's good. It's good. I'm more of a sports and rando memo guy, but I could take a look at this. Yeah, this is high quality. This was used in concert. You got them at the night of the concert?
It was during an all-star jam at the Hollywood Bowl. I was able to go backstage.
Oh, that's awesome.
Name dropper.
Fuck you, man.
He actually
I'm fucking
said
big
zero
time.
Names in that phrase.
He's bragging a little bit.
Let me see. Okay, Ringo Starr. Yeah, that looks like a. And you saw him sign this. I trust you. This looks solid to me. I just want to make sure.
Round surfaces. I gotta say, I've never signed anything round. Really,
it's
like
difficult.
A nightstick or a drumstick.
You
signed
a lot
hard.
Of stuff, Matt.
I sign pictures of myself
you
when
do?
I come out of an
That's
airport.
Cool.
Occasionally, someone will have a printed out low grade quality photo. Sometimes a good quality photo. Yes, I have.
There's
signed
a lot.
Things.
We have a lot of sports and leisure fans out there at the airports.
That's no. Not fans of this show yet.
I got a lot of guys working for me there, but they're not sitting there with pictures.
Ugh.
Yeah, they've got deep cuts. They're holding, you know. I've got a guy.
So you got guys working the Vegas airport looking
for. I got
guys
working I got a guy right now at the Austin Bergstrom Airport in Austin, Texas.
Because the South By getting over?
Yeah, because South By's getting over. So there's musicians coming in and out of that airport right now. And I got a guy stand there with a football helmet autographed by Muhammad Ali trying to add any more autographs that I can.
Is Ali
piece.
And is Wendy on there?
Wendy the Snapple is not on there, but if when I get that helmet back, Wendy gave me her Instagram info. I'm going to hit her up on DM and just get her to sign whatever I need. Because I might have her come in. I might give her 50 G's and have her just sign everything I own. So
that's a lot of money for Wendy, I think.
Yeah, but if you think about it, I got thousands of pieces of memo. You add Wendy the Snapple Lady to all of it, boom. That's just money, 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 money.
All right, pull something else out of the box. I'm learning so much because I don't know anything about the memo
world. Well, here you
world.
Go,
I literally,
right, so here, here's a blender.
Because I'll tell you what I imagine in the memo world. I imagine when I go to a memo convention, it's going to be like a Larry Bird jersey, and it'll be framed and signed, or Magic Johnson, or Mario Andretti cap or something like
yeah.
that's I think a lot of fabric. Like I actually see a lot of framed jerseys more than anything. Actually,
right? It's your especially for basketball because what are you? It's either sign a basketball or sign
jock.
A jersey. Right.
So how does this blender factor into the scene?
Oh, this blender right here is from when Riddick Bowe broke his jaw early on in training, and he had to drink
smoothies.
So this this is. That
the smoothie blender?
This is the blender.
And
right
he
here.
Gave you that?
Riddick Bowe gave this to me, yes. In a memo exchange. Because Riddick Bowe is apparently a huge Dale Earnhardt fan, and I had like a handful of Dale Earnhardt's hair that someone had.
Was it pure
out.
Earnhardt, or was there a little Snapple Lady on there as well? Like,
this,
did you give him pure stuff?
Hair.
This was pulled hair. This
hair.
Was unsigned.
Okay.
I do have a Ziploc bag full of Wendy the Snapple Lady's hair, but I have not had any reason to use
did
that.
Did she knowingly give you? Her hair? Did you sneak up on her at
no,
the convention and cut clippings?
She came to my house to sign a bunch of stuff, and she must be going through it or not getting enough vitamins or something. Because when she left, her fucking hair. I have two German Shepherds.
Clumps.
I have two German Shepherds. Those because of my childhood thing. I had to keep German Shepherds around my whole life. These things shed like a motherfucker. But Wendy, you can find them long black hairs all around my house.
Just like falling out of her head.
Yeah, I was worried
that's
about
alopecia,
it.
So you
man.
Grabbed a bunch of that stuff and you traded that for this blender.
Yeah, I traded Wendy the Snapple. I traded a small amount of Wendy the Snapple Lady's hair to Riddick Bowe, in addition to Dale Earnhardt's ripped out hair, for this blender, which I'm hoping I'm hoping to get autographed by Lupita Nyong'o from 12 Years a Slave.
Sure. Yeah. She's in a great Broadway play right now, too.
That's why I'm going to send after this.
So you get Riddick and Lupita on the blender?
Riddick and Lupita on the blender, and you find that one person that lives in that Venn diagram, and they're willing to. So, for example, like you were saying, you see a Larry Bird jersey framed, and it's signed at a memo convention, right? Uh-huh. To me, that's missionary sex with a beautiful blonde. Yeah, it's great. It's fun. But after a while, you got to chase something a little crazier. And that's, you know, then you start being like, oh, all right, why don't I wear stockings? Oh, okay, you choke me now. To me, that's where I'm at, where it's like, let me get Riddick Bowe's blender. I'm fucking knee deep in helmets and jerseys and footballs.
That's
and,
all kind
and,
of basic.
And towels.
You've had a brutal life too. You've had two children who were incapacitated.
Yeah, I've
I mean,
two,
you've
yeah.
had
because of curse.
That and you had a rough childhood.
That arguably, they a lot of people say I. Caused
no, you did not. I don't believe in that.
I don't believe in karma either.
No.
I'm doing PR. I'm making money. I come on this, you know, UCB Sports and Leisure. I got to put on my best face.
Have you ever pretended to be something? I'm just asking because that maybe tells us in the future maybe like of an accident to try and avoid. You know what I mean? Because people that have pretended to be stuff.
Oh,
have
yeah, like
seen
my son pretend to be paralyzed and then getting paralyzed.
Yeah. Have you ever pretended to be anything?
I mean, I dressed as a woman and blew Joe Namath, held a mouthful of load for a quarter mile walk out of his pool house till I got into the cab and was able to spit it into a vial that I had in my pocket.
You were saving that? That's what you were saving?
I got Namath's load.
Oh, but you didn't get an autograph.
I have Namath's autograph. I got it on a jersey. I got it on a fur coat. And I got it on a bottle of Diet Peach Snapple
Ice. Did someone buy that? Did someone buy Joe Namath's semen?
No, not yet.
Is that in your panic room, too?
That's in the panic room as well.
Oh, you would never sell it?
I would maybe sell that, but you got to wait till he dies for a load like that, because then you can get the genetic.
Do you have a super stable freezer like they would have at a medical laboratory to keep that
material? I do, but for different material? Reasons, yes. Yeah.
But I mean, to keep that material stable?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you know what you're doing. You're not a scientist.
I have a bunch of shit in this panic room. I have I have it in a freezer. It's not a super stable freezer, if you will, but I got a generator that runs.
Back up?
Yeah, because if anything happens and that panic room locks down, I got to be able to get in there, you know?
And that moment that you did that was a thrill in a way. Like, I kind of feel like you're a junkie for being on the cutting edge of memorabilia or the memo world. Like, you're ahead of the game because obviously, how long have you had the load? Did you blow them like 2 years ago? Three years ago?
Yeah, 3.5 years ago.
Okay, so like, no one still has approached you for that product.
No.
Like, you have a lot of things that you're ahead of the taste of America for.
I want when someone decides, hey, I could go for about 600 cc's of Mr. Showtime, what was his name? Tony Showtime? Joe Namath's, Joe Hollywood's. If I could go for a nice 600 cc's of Joe Namath's jizz, I'd be like, guess what? I'm your fucking guy.
Well, has that happened? Like, you obviously travel and you go to these conventions and you have the store, the Memo King store at the, what hotel?
It's at the Golden Nugget.
Oh, good.
It was at the Luxor.
At the mall.
But
yeah.
Jewish lightning struck and our place burned down.
You got the insurance money.
We were in the middle of switching all our memorabilia and washing it, so it was all out of the store and only an empty store burned with.
You happened to move out like a day before the fire?
We were just getting all the memorabilia washed. It was all out of the Luxor and it wasn't.
Let me
just
ask,
had
your wife pretended to be a widow before that?
No.
To get an autograph.
Okay, I see what you're saying, because you found a little bit of a pattern in this shit in my life.
Yeah.
But one time my brother-in-law did wrap himself entirely in gauze and walk into a NBA party to get Detlev Schrempf's autograph.
Oh, so like a mummy? He dressed
so
like a mummy?
Yes, he actually was saying that he was in a Vietnamese child that was in a napalm strike.
What else do you have Detlev Schrempf's signature on? Give me like a good, like say, because I kind of... As a curiosity, he's a player that sticks in my craw. Like, he's like, oh, he had a good run with the Sonics, maybe?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah,
it's just a name. It's a name when you hear it, you go,
So, like, what do you got in the Detlev? Say I'm a shrimp guy and I walk into your store or I bump into you at a convention. I'm like, what do you got for shrimp that's going to be, like, not generic? Like, do you have anything?
I got...
Because a ball isn't that interesting.
Like, do you have, like, a load from him?
No. God, I wish. So I got Shrimp's autograph on a Rick Smith's headshot, which I think makes people laugh because a lot of people are just like, "Ah, oh, these giant."
Is it
fuckers.
Just Rick Smith's?
It's Rick Smith's.
Or just Shrimp's signature.
It's Shrimp's signature on
Rick Smith's
high school yearbook photo.
And somebody bought that.
Somebody bought that. $2,600.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's something that I'd be proud to put up in my rec room.
A lot of
are you selling to... Are a lot of your customers other guys who own memorabilia stores? Like, I feel like...
There's some memo to memo
sales. The burned out people in the memo world must be the ones succeeding or who deal with it every day. And you're...
Yeah, it seems
I think your product...
It's like pushing the envelope to like other people that are kind of like, it's almost like a...
It's like bakers selling bread to each other or something. You know what I mean? Like just moving it around.
Yeah,
like,
you guys are out there doing your duck hunting, and I'm fucking bringing down big game in the Serengeti. You know, I've moved on.
Like, I feel like there's like a big group
so you're
of weird
on the
people.
Forefront.
I feel like it's a big group of weird people like just selling frozen loads to each other of famous people. You know,
I could get into that game, but I would sell Joe Namath's load to one of those, because there's those genetic freaks, those gene freaks who are trying to
clone
grow
Namath.
Babies and shit like that and grow ears on mice and, you know,
well,
stem
I didn't
cells.
Mean that it was actually, we're Frankensteining anything with it, but it just seems like it's a dark,
yeah,
like the memo world is just like, yeah, like, it's like the same guys, you go to a bike shop mm-hmm. and you notice all the sales are really going to the guys that work at the bike shop are buying all the bikes,
mm-hmm.
like they spend all their money on the bikes. Same thing as these memo guys. The guys that work there and start trading with each other are like, you get addicted to the memo.
You get also just when you work at a fucking McDonald's, you know you're not supposed to eat Big Macs, but you can't help yourself. So I got these guys working in my shop. They're down at Memo Kings in the right. Golden Nugget, no longer the Luxor. I got these guys. They're around it. They're like, I'm sitting here all day long under a pistol.
This is $500. I'm going to put it on the table right now.
Ooh.
Okay. $500.
Holy
bucks. Look
shit.
At it.
Those are crisp.
Look at it.
You carry $500 cash.
I do. That's just a weird thing.
Now, Matt, here's the thing. I have here a seat that's autographed. It's a seat from Soldier Field. It's autographed by Mike Ditka and several of the 85 Bears. Not all of them. Otis Wilson, though. Wilbur Marshall.
Did you get Willie Gault?
Willie Gault's on the front and the back.
You never told me you had this. Why are you getting rid of it?
I'm not. I'm just saying, like, for $500, I'll sell this to you.
I'm telling you.
Or you could buy one of his things for $500.
I want to see if you have anything that you brought. Like, literally, I'm probably not going to buy anything from you, but I'm challenging you to pull something out of your kit there that the general public would care about, because
okay.
none of this
and
appeals
not,
to me.
And I'm not, and I'll, this is a fun game. This is fun for me. So it's $500. I'm not trying to rip you or myself off. Do you want me to find something of $500 value?
Sure.
Or up to $500? Be like, for $250.
Yeah.
All right,
you can
okay.
go wherever you want. Yeah, let's start
Whoops,
there.
Sorry. Let me go through the bag here.
Careful.
All right.
Can we give him a...
That's a heavy bag. Look at that.
Yeah. Do you want another table? We can get you another table. That looks
no, it's
super
fine.
Heavy.
I just lay it all out. He used a display table.
I can move on.
He has, for the listeners, he has like two giant hockey equipment bags. You know those big equipment that look like they're loaded with bowling balls?
They're loaded... well, this one is loaded exclusively with bowling balls.
Oh, really?
Because that's something that a lot... Everyone bowls, you know?
All right,
I got a bowling... All right, so I got the...
I challenge you to pull a bowling ball out of there that I'm going to give a shit about.
Okay, here you go.
With the story... including the story behind it, without the signature.
Here's a bowling...
Wow.
Yeah.
Careful.
It's a 12-pounder.
This table is not strong enough.
It's a 12-pounder.
Okay.
Autographed by Utah Jazz All-Stars, Karl Malone...
John Stockton. Yeah.
And Diamond Dallas Page, the professional wrestler. Turned yoga instructor.
No Hornacek on there. No Jeff Hornacek.
No Hornacek.
Jerry Sloan.
I see
Jerry Sloan right here.
Yeah, there is Jerry. I didn't know who Jerry Sloan was. I was only after Malone and Stockton. So I got those two autographs. I got Diamond Dallas Page. There's a Jerry Sloan on there. And the last autograph on here is of... hold on. Shit. It's on the...
You get rubbed off?
No. It's on the...
You gotta use better paint
pen. It's by the thumb hole. It's by the thumb
hole. Oh, wait. I can read it.
Yeah. And there it is.
This is like Chester Cheetah.
Yeah. It's a little...
Well, the artist who created the icon Chester Cheetah, the advertising artist?
Or was it someone dressed as Chester Cheetah at the time?
No, this is Chester Cheetah himself. The cheetah that Chester Cheetah is based on. It's a paw print dipped in orange paint in honor of the Cheetos and then pressed by the thumb... So just to run you through
like
this.
Like the model that they made, the logo?
The actual cheetah. So when the ad...
It's a cartoon. There's no actual cheetah. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes. Well, there's no actual cheetah in the commercial.
Matt.
There's no actual cheetah in the commercials. But
right.
But this advertisement campaign came out in the 80s.
Originally in the 80s? I
didn't
know it was
that
old. Okay.
And that's when Madison Avenue was coked to the fucking brim.
Okay.
And Y&R, Young and Rubicam, had a fucking... They flew a cheetah in from
I think I want this already because yeah. I
so
think what you're
so the
this is how he gets you, man.
So the backstory is the important part. So they flew this cheetah in, and then the cheetah was in the boardroom. They had to get all out of the boardroom because it got out of the cage, and It ate the
Somebody inked its paws with Cheeto dust, so somehow they figured out a way to ink this animal's
this
jaws.
This would happen way later, because in this event is when the cheetah kind of, they were like, this thing's crazy. So someone had brought in a big basket of brie and camembert and assorted cheeses, and this cheetah ate the fuck out of all the cheeses. They were locked out of the boardroom. It was too dangerous to go in there. They watched the cheetah. They're like, this cheetah, they called the cheetah in because they were just rich and coked up. They were just, you know, we want
we'll
oysters.
See what we can get away with.
Yeah, yeah. So sure, then they start going, we got to do this fucking Cheetos campaign. We got this for real cheetah in here mowing down cheese. Someone, one of these fucking lunatics, one of these coke bones, has an idea. And next thing you know, Chester Cheetah created a mascot, a timeless mascot. I've got.
So that paw print is from where? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you never met that cheetah's dead and
obviously. That cheetah was killed later that day. So that, because they had to get the boardroom back. So one of these.
So
guys,
was this bowling ball in the boardroom? Like, I don't understand how this happens.
No, okay, so this is where it gets. The creative director at Young and Rubicam, the one who happened to have the pistol in his desk that was used to kill the cheetah.
Not a trank dart.
They had to kill it, and these guys are fucking.
Take it out the back elevator.
They all had apparently all of Y&R had guns in their desk at the time. It was just something that someone got a big ass.
Well, Scott worked in the ad world.
Yeah, it was
he
a crazy decade. That's true.
Yeah, it was.
Did you ever have a gun in your copywriting days?
I think it came in like right after that. Like a lot of the guys that hired me might have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And those guys had gone soft at that point. You know, like nasal cavities have fallen apart and all that.
Okay.
Stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
So they kill this cheetah. The creative director says, I killed this cheetah. I came up with the campaign. I think I should keep the cheetah. They stuff it and give it to the guy as his parting gift when he leaves, his retirement gift. He was retiring later on that year.
Okay.
And
cheaper than a watch.
Cheaper than a watch, because they already had the dead cheetah carcass, and they were like, this thing stinks. We got to figure out something to do. So then I track this guy down, find out that he's got, you know, I find out about the story. I track this guy down, get the cheetah, go into his house while I hit him with a little bit of contact solution, like eye contact solution, in his bourbon. We're sharing a bourbon. That gives him diarrhea. He gets up. He's in the bathroom shitting his brains out. I bust out some orange paint, paint it on the bottom of the paw, pull out this bowling ball that I already have Diamond Dallas Page's autograph on.
Holy shoot.
Press it into the...
I'll give you $250. Yes.
Yes, $250. So
all right, I got $250 left. Holy shoot, this is good. I actually will tell that story. This is good.
So I don't know if Morgan wants a giant bowling ball with a
murdered cheetah. It's got the original Chester
cheetah
paw print, and it's got Hornacek, Stockton, Sloan, and...
I don't know who Sloan is, but yeah, he must have been there.
The Hall of Fame coach.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Former Chicago Bull.
I don't deal with coaches.
All right, I got $250. I'll make it rain. If you prove, give me something. It doesn't have to be a bowling ball. It can be from the other bag.
Okay. All right, so, yeah.
So this is like, what is this, like a Visa card or something?
Yeah, this is a Visa card.
Okay.
Yeah.
But is O.J. Simpson's name on that Visa card?
Yeah. Orenthal Simpson.
Orenthal. You have O.J. Simpson's Visa card?
Yes. This is his
actual... Is that a Diners Club or is that a Visa? Like,
this is his debit card. This is his debit card from about 6 years ago.
Holy cats.
And it's not working anymore, of course.
Of course
no. He
had
it canceled. He has an assistant or someone had it canceled for him
or
something.
There's no chip on that.
Could have used that assistant.
And there's an autograph on the back, obviously, because he had to sign it.
His autograph is on the back. It's a little rubbed down from use, but it's not so much about the autograph at that point. You know who this belonged to, because this is what we call branded autographed, because it's just something that it could not be anyone else's.
So now he is someone whose value, I would assume, has gone down because his back end of his life has...
You have no idea. This guy is highs and lows. This guy's up and down. This guy
the
is
market
the
and
Facebook
OJ is
of
risky.
The yeah, because you never know. This FX series that's out right now has got everyone loving him again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So the merch, the memo's moving now.
I'm selling...
That show moves the needle.
I'm selling replica OJ jerseys autographed by Cuba Gooding Jr., and people are fucking buying them off. $100 a pop.
Oh, that's like your bread and butter. You just crank that stuff
just
out.
Crank
no
that
brainer.
Out. I got Cuba. Cuba comes by the place once a month and just signs a bunch of shit, you know. I have him sign all kinds of stuff. Fidel
so is
Castro
it just
his autograph goes... Increases because he's an actor playing someone famous?
Because he's playing O.J. Simpson, so to have O.J. Simpson's jersey signed by Cuba.
Yeah, it's ironic almost.
It's ironic in a way, but for some people it's like, if you like O.J.
No, it's real.
Yeah.
Now, would you ever have like O.J. sign like a boat trip poster or something, some movie that Cuba Gooding did?
That would be
What's the movie where he goes underwater? With,
the welding movie with De Niro. Yeah.
Men of Honor?
Yeah, Men of Honor.
Yeah. If you had...
That's my favorite film. Because really? It shows that black people can scuba dive, too. And I think that's important.
Of course. I had no doubt they could scuba dive. Anybody can scuba dive.
Right, but I don't think it's... I hadn't seen a movie about it until that, right?
That's true. You never even think about it. And then it's like, oh, wow, this guy's like passionate about this.
It could have been good, that movie. I didn't get pulled into the drama of completing the
I
weld.
I cried my fucking eyes out when he walked into that courtroom in the full-on metal suit.
Mm-hmm.
When at the end, and then De Niro stands up to salute him, I fucking cried my little eyes out.
Yeah, I mean, I was happy for him. It was a simple journey. I guess it's not my cup of tea for a film, but...
But yes, if you had O.J. to autograph a Men of Honor poster, that would pop big. That would, if you can get O.J.'s autograph... Here's the
can
thing.
Can I see this?
Yeah, sure. Take sure. It. Yeah. The thing for me, though, is O.J. memorabilia... This is hard for me to get in general because I kind of had a bad... Some bad blood has passed between O.J. and I. I hate even using blood puns when saying the guy talking.
Oh
about
my
the
god!
Guy.
Passed it because I know O.J. got in trouble for getting in a fight to try and get his memorabilia back.
Oh yeah, O.J. got in trouble for coming into my hotel room with armed guards and taking
is this
all his
Ann Coulter's signature on the back of the O.J. Simpson credit card.
Yeah, right below O.J.'s name is Ann.
And then Wendy the Snapple lady right there.
Yep, added Wendy's a recent addition, but I got Ann a few.
This
years.
Doesn't. I don't. Would you pay $200? I have $200. I can't.
Oh, I would pay $250 for that for sure.
Really? With Ann OJ's Coulter old, and like Wendy the I don't know.
I told Coulter to sign the front, but she was like, I want to put my signature where OJ's is. I'm like, whatever, Coulter, just get it in there, you know? Because her initials are AC, so I thought it would be funny because, you know, like OJ, what was the guy's name who drove him?
AC Colling.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought like the AC thing would hit. Not a lot of people pick
up. Well, that's a deep track. I don't think that's up front. A
lot of people having a hard time. And so that, and also not a lot of people know that Wendy the Snapple Lady owns a Ford, a white Bronco. And
I'd rather buy Joe Namath's load than buy that. I'm not interested in
that. Joe Namath's load.
So O.J. Simpson got in trouble for coming to your hotel room.
A couple of armed guards trying to buy back something.
And that's really why he's back in prison. He could blame you for that. You're the one who pressed. Did you press charges?
Oh, I pressed charges.
Oh, my God. You're the... Oh my God! I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he put a gun in my my brother's mouth. This was my actual brother, Justin, mm-hmm. and he was had a gun in his mouth from OJ.
Is this a fully mobile member in your life?
Well, no longer. He was fully mobile at the time, but
is he paralyzed from the gunshot?
He had
the gun was never fired.
But he had a heart attack once the gun was removed from his mouth
and the stroke,
and then it led to a stroke,
uh-huh.
and now he is like my left foot.
Your life is
only use his left foot.
Awful.
But he's an amazing painter. I got his memorabilia. I got his shit for him for sale too.
Did you ever get Jackson Pollock to sign anything, or do you ever own anything that Jackson Pollock or anybody from the art world signed?
Oh, I wish. I'm not really a big art guy. The only thing I have is a vial of Andy Warhol's jizz.
Uh-huh. How did you come by that? Obviously, you didn't overlap with his
wife. He was
wife.
At the Namath party, and I had already...
No,
like
the Namath
party.
Thing happened 3.5 years ago.
No.
Warhol, you must have traded
was, no,
for
no,
the wall.
Sorry, not
you
the
must
Namath,
have traded
he was
up.
Not at the Namath party. He was at a Namath party, Namath party.
Yeah.
When I was there...
After the Super Bowl.
It was after the Super Bowl, 69.
In New York, yeah.
Oh.
Right, yeah, it was huge.
Wow.
The after party was
at
the factory.
Yeah. Because, you know, he was friends, because Namath was fucking, you know, thought he was Johnny West Village, Johnny Hollywood or whatever. So he went down there. Johnny Hollywood is actually my great-grandfather's name, by the way, which is a lot of people.
Johnny Hollywood was your great-grandfather. Johnny Dogfood was your father. And your
Johnny
Pastimes?
Johnny Pastimes.
Pastimes or Pastime?
Pastimes.
Pastimes. Johnny Pastimes.
It's
okay.
Plural, yeah.
What do you do for fun besides memo stuff?
Well, if I got the time, I'm sunbathing, I'm floating, I'm just by the pool. I'm a pool guy.
That's
with
great.
Danny Gans.
Oh, Danny Gans. If
and you
if
don't
you
roll can, with the Cirque du Soleil people like or any of the Penn and Teller crowd.
Well, we have Teller all the time. Teller's okay. Teller could be at your house at any given moment. You won't even know.
Okay,
he's so quiet.
Yeah, Teller was standing like in the corner of my bedroom, like it was like fucking. It was like Blair Witch. He was like facing the corner in my bedroom one night when I came home. I'm like, how long have you been here for? And Danny Gans is like, he was never here, snapped his fingers, and the dude
shit.
Was gone.
Oh, my God. And
there's a lot of cross-promotion in the magician world, too. You'd be surprised. It's a lot.
I like to know that there's camaraderie between magicians, though.
Chris Angel hangs out with Penn and Teller, and those guys hang out with, I mean, Not that he's a
magician. Copperfield. Is Copperfield a loner, or does he roll with
Copperfield's the... out on his big-ass island doing okay. God knows what. But in Vegas, I'll have the magician guys come by, and we'll hang out at the pool and stuff. I'll have them autograph some
Let
shit.
Let me ask you this. If David Copperfield autographed the vial with Joe Namath's semen in it, what would that do to that product?
I don't know what it would do to that product, but I would blow my fucking head off because my life is over at that point. That's wow. the most. That's the pinnacle. That's the best I could possibly ask for.
All right. Well, this has been a great interview.
I just want to say this has been really informative. I'm a little bummed out about my box of stuff because it seems like a little straight.
Sure.
But it's been very informative. I really appreciate you coming out.
Thank you for coming to our show. We'll have you back. I don't know anything about the memo world, the memorabilia world.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is very informative.
I can come back. Thank you. I can bring some stuff from the panic room. You guys can have a real
Me and Matt are coming to Vegas soon. Maybe we'd hit you up while we're out there.
I'm Donald Trump. This is UCB Sports and Leisure. You're going to listen to it. You're going to pay for it.
Last week on the podcast, we discussed Adam LaRoche. As you know, he's one of the White Sox players and was bringing his son into work. He was bringing his son to the locker room and on the plane, and he was asked by the GM to stop bringing his son, and he responded by retiring. We discussed that with everybody on the podcast, and we ourselves stumbled on something shocking. And we're back. Live here at the top of the Hancock Tower, overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue.
Or the UCB Podcast Leisure Studio.
Mm-hmm.
And Sports Studio.
Yeah. Hey, did you see this article? It's on all the papers now. It's about
the White Sox guy?
Adam LaRoche.
Yeah? What about
it? He's been bringing his son to the locker room and also on like these flights to ride with the team.
Mm-hmm.
He's almost like a 26th member of the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him to stop bringing his son, and mm-hmm. and he was so upset that he actually retired from baseball.
He gave up
like $13 million to play this year.
I would probably do the same thing. Like if I worked somewhere and they wouldn't, if I did.
You'd retire?
Yeah, if someone told me, like, you can't bring your son to work.
I feel like it's a lot of pressure on Adam LaRoche's son. It's like, hey, Dad, like, you'd rather hang out with me? Like, you want to go to the mall or something? Is this as fun as playing baseball?
Sometimes kids want to hang out with their dad. Sometimes young kids, I mean.
Can I chime in on this?
Joey?
I just think it's, I mean, yeah, it's nice to have, you know, have your kid at work day. But to have him there every day. And plus, there's a lot of grown men. Like, other grown men, like, half naked.
That's the issue, is the nudity bugs you.
Well, I mean, I don't want my kid looking at a bunch of naked guys.
All right, let me just
room.
Give you a hypothetical. Would you be weirded out if I told you that every time we've recorded this show, my son has been in the room? Like, would you be upset by that? Because obviously it hasn't affected our show ever, but if I told you,
well,
hypothetically.
I don't like hypotheticals because it's like, obviously that's never happened. That wouldn't be like a.
Come on out.
Well.
What?
Come on out.
Come on out.
Yeah, come on. You can play with us. You can hang out.
What is this little trap door? What is this?
There's a fake floor that we record above.
Teddy, you got my Starbucks?
I sure do. You can have one Starbucks and that's it, okay?
Ooh, thanks.
One.
Thanks,
Daddy. He gets really hyper when I give him Starbucks.
You shouldn't be giving him all his coffee. Okay, so hold on a second.
He's a big kid.
This is insane. There's been
Let's just go on with the show. Why do we have to talk about my son?
Because a trapdoor just opened underneath the door.
It's not a trapdoor, Scott. The podcast is built on a platform. So underneath the platform, there's 6 feet of space where I have a water cooler. I have a miniature toilet. I have, like, toys. I have a DVD player. You can
take
naps.
But, like, if Dad has to be at an audition or something, then we'll take a nap.
Can I just chime in real quick? This is,
sure.
I mean, with a child being around, I feel like I have to, like, you know, hold back.
Well,
there's a lot of adult natured, you know, themes in the show.
Tell him all the shows you've heard. He's heard.
No, I know. There's a difference between, like, bad words that are used for comedy, and then bad words are used for hatred, and bad words are used for sexuality.
Yeah.
And Daddy explains it all very clear to me.
Is he? Ezekiel is very smart. He sees mankind in the way.
That's the other weird thing. I thought you had three kids. Now I'm learning there's a fourth.
Yeah.
I'm Zeke Walsh.
Zeke.
Mm.
Is he?
That's from your previous marriage, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. He's a 14-year-old boy, Joe, who I had in a previous marriage, who I love because he is my flesh and blood, and I've raised him. And he doesn't live under the show. He just, when I'm working, he comes with me. Sometimes he's not underneath anything. There's certain places where he can just hang out with me.
Yeah, sometimes I'll sleep in a wall. I'll just sleep in the wall for like a day. And Dad's like, where are you? I'd be like, I'm taking care of the theater, Dad.
And just to paint a picture for everybody at home, Ezekiel looks similar to Matt. He's balding, similar mm-hmm. to Matt. He's got
good features, good symmetry.
Lots of chest hair.
His jowls. Charm. His jowls are extra large, though. He's got large jowls. And
my former wife had large jowls, if you must know.
Almost no neck and like almost like a round,
no neck. My former
round
wife
body.
No neck.
Almost like it's been compressed a little bit.
My former wife had a much shorter trunk than most human beings have.
Uh-huh.
She had an abnormally short trunk.
This is inappropriate to talk to about.
Let's just do the show, please.
At some point, Daddy liked Mama's drunk.
Zeke, you can just hang back, and we're going to keep doing the show.
See, this is okay. The kind of thing that I feel like he's picking up on the podcast stuff. Like, he's not able to ignore it. Like, he's doing, like, weird bits that we would do. But he doesn't understand what
he's
the words
grown up
saying.
In the entertainment industry a little bit. Yes, he has. He is okay. A bit of a showbiz kid.
Well,
I have
a
showbiz
grow up,
child.
Like, turn crazy.
He doesn't understand what we're saying, though. He's just regurgitating everything.
What do you mean?
He knows what junk in the trunk is. Tell us, what do you think junk in the trunk is?
It's like when you got a fat ass.
Okay, he's right.
He knows, yeah. Okay, yeah, he knows what he's saying.
Yeah, he's a bright kid.
Yeah.
Bright kid.
Looks a lot like his mom.
I think I could also separate my mother from, you know, other chicks' trunks and respect mothers but dig others.
You're really well-adjusted, Ezekiel is.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why you guys are weirded out by the LaRoche character. They're being unfair to him. I think there's probably a lot more people who bring their kid to work every day than you'd realize.
What happened to former Mrs. Walsh?
She's out in Idaho.
Boise, yeah. She's a huge Boise State fan, right?
It's like an organic lettuce.
Did you guys, you know, split time? Is he with you half the time? Because we've never met.
I heard every time you go to shoot Veep, you're really in Boise, Idaho. Just
not
hanging
always,
out with Zeke.
But a lot of times, yeah. A lot of times I travel a ton with Zeke, but more and more he's spending time in LA and he's getting to hang out with Dad's friends.
I like to see what it's like in a big town as opposed to Boise, which is small in comparison.
He's been on every audition I've gone to in this city, either in the car or hiding in a wall.
You were
underneath
really
a desk.
You really blew the Revenant one.
I'm sorry.
Were you in the wall during the Revenant audition?
I got nervous. He could see I was in my head, and he called it. He goes, Dad, you're going to blow it.
Why does he wear the lederhosen? Is there a reason for like the outfit with the socks pulled up and everything?
It's his choice. Like, Zeke, I forget why you wear those.
Because I wanted to remind everyone that I was a child. You know, I'm around a lot of
14.
Adults here.
You're 13 and a half,
and
actually.
It can get a little scary with, you know, 20-year-olds, they're too old. And so I just to remind everybody, I am a kid still.
Mm-hmm. And there, he's got the, what do you call a tattoo in the lower back area? Like a tramp stamp?
Tramp stamp.
You gave him a tramp stamp, man?
I did not give him a tramp stamp. That is a removable tattoo. He's been obsessed with tramp stamps, so I let my children express themselves.
That one's the removable one. The one by my crack is irremovable. Slimer sneaking out of my butt like a fart.
He has a tendency to make big life choices for bits. Do you know what I mean?
Like he doesn't know when it's real and when the bit ends.
He thought it'd be a funny thing to have Slimer on his butt. I'm like, that is funny. But I said, you know, I would never do that.
He gets that from you. He gets his comedy from you. Come on.
A little bit.
Yeah. All right. And his
little bit.
Well, let's try and move on with the podcast. And I just
want to say that you're discriminating against this LaRoche character because it's a very common occurrence. We don't have to have him talk.
I mean,
all the time.
I've never had a job where I've had the kid.
Ever? I bet you there was a kid in a desk underneath a desk right next to you. I know a lot of gentlemen who feed their kid at lunch with just a bowl.
Don't cry, man. Don't cry.
It's just discrimination, Joe, and I don't like it. I feel like.
All right.
Zeke is very normal. He's a very normal boy.
Was he born without thumbs, or did you cut them off?
I would never cut my child's thumbs off. That is
who he's born that way.
Ow. Scratch. It's sharp.
Well,
sharp.
It's a common thing for people to be born with ailments and things that are not their control.
Deformities, they're called.
And we're not supposed to call them out and make fun of them.
They're differences, Joe. They're not deformities.
Yeah, I mean, why are you going?
I'm not making fun of
it. There's enough weird stuff going on. You don't have to make fun of the
To say deformed is to imply inferiorness. There's nothing inferior about my
son. I'm coming from a place of fear.
How about that electric eel bite on the side of your face?
Attaboy, Zeke.
Get out of here, Zeke.
No, he's right.
Inappropriate.
For those at home, right. those at home, Ezekiel's pointing out the hickeys on the side of Joe Nunez's neck. He's calling
Gross.
Them eel bites.
We will take photos and post them on the UCB Sports and Leisure website.
There is a lot of truth in what Zeke says. It's amazing. Isn't he a wise child?
He is. He's, okay, let's try and get on with the show.
Let's have
if
Zeke
I ever
do
get
one...
a leech on my neck like that, I'm going to put a cigarette in its eye.
Oh.
I don't blame you.
You're encouraging him to burn himself with the cigarette?
I think he's teasing Joe.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he's really going to. Although Zeke might. Don't ever do that
I
with a leech. If you ever get a leech, don't put a cigarette near it because you might end up burning yourself, Zeke.
Good to know.
Yeah.
That's a good boy, Zeke. I wish I had a child like you.
Well, let's have him do one segment with us, and then I'll take him out to the.
I'd rather just do the.
I have a storage right. shed on the garage roof.
Is there any way you could stay underneath the. In the.
I don't
Zeke,
know.
Inside job room?
You could sit by my.
All right. You know, I feel bad. Now I feel bad
Come
putting
on,
him in his place.
Where I can go.
You know what? Just sit. Just, stay in one. Stay in one
well,
segment.
The trash is empty. I'll just jump in the trash can.
Well, not making me the
we
bad
can go
guy.
Go underneath the table and like tickle our toes.
Or just stay here. Okay, let's try and get through this
if
segment.
If I go down there, though, it's a no fart zone, Nunez.
You know what, Zeke? Do you want something to eat? Here's $50. Get us some Subways.
At Inner Sanctums.
What's that?
Should I get some Inner Sanctum?
Get some Inner Sanctum.
Oh, UCB
Subways.
Cafe. Yeah. You'll need at least, you know, $60 more to
know,
get
it's
three
a
sandwiches.
Very expensive.
Oh, knock it
it's
off.
A ripoff.
Knock it off.
It's
they're gourmet ripoff. Sandwiches.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of UCB Sports and Leisure. You can reach us on Twitter at UCBSL. And a special thanks this episode to John Gabris, Horatio Sands, and Joe Nunez. And as always, thanks to Alexis B. Preston, our studio engineer. Peace.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.